Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Fluently Forward. Today, we are doing such a classic Fluently Forward topic where we are blending celebrity and conspiracy, because if you are anything like me, you have also been gripped and ripped and shaken and shook about everything going on with Kate Middleton. And it's funny because, I don't know, some pop culture, like celebrity stories, immediately grab me from the hook and others don't. Like, for example, the recent story about Tish Cyrus, right? Miley Cyrus's mom marrying this man who used to be friends with benefits with Noah Cyrus, which he was 30 years older than her. Obviously, that's like, I don't know, a story ripe with juice and drama and intrigue and scandal. But for some reason, it didn't grip me and rip me when I first heard of it. And same with this Kate Middleton one. I was like, okay, it was actually when I was on Dumois' podcast, maybe like a month ago. Okay, 2 months ago-ish. And we were talking about how she's going in for abdominal surgery. It's not that big of a deal. Maybe it's like a mommy makeover. Who knows? And now I would like to revoke my statement because I have 9 different tinfoil hats on. And today we are going to cover all of the different potential conspiracy theories of what could be going on with Kate Middleton. And this is the first time I've recorded an episode the day before I posted it, because I just wanted to really capture everything that people on the internet were talking about, dive into it. So we're going to start with a timeline of events. We're going to go into different theories. We're going to talk about unusual and suspicious circumstances surrounding this. Then we're going to top things off with, and does it sound like I'm walking you through like an omakase menu or something? Anyway, then we're going to top things off with a little bit of blind items as a garnish, and then we'll finish with some dessert of talking about the motto of the British royalty, you know, the crown: never complain, never explain. It's a very cool mantra that I got into recently over the past year, and there's this great blog piece that kind of talks about that mantra of the crown and how they use it and how it was created, and how it's kind of been like their PR. Can I say mantra so many times? Like, you get what I'm saying. It's kind of their fallback reasoning that they do for anything. If it goes wrong, if it goes right, they always abide by this rule. And I just think it's going to be fun to talk about. So let's get into it here. Like, goddamn, what a story. Kate Middleton, if you're either listening to this, you either know every detail or maybe like a little skim of it. So basically, Kate Middleton has not been seen in public since Christmas Day. The official story is that she had this planned abdominal surgery, which even that was kind of getting people talking, just because they said abdominal surgery. They didn't say... And I wonder too, right? Like, thinking from the side of the crown, I'm like, is it better that they said it was abdominal, or should they have just said surgery? If they had surgery, then, you know, all the conspiracy theories would be all over the place because every single part of the body could be scrutinized. But now, since they only said it was an abdominal surgery, but they didn't say what type, some people are thinking everything from mommy makeover to a ruptured bowel to like a stomach issue to an abortion. Like, there's all of these different theories the abdominal surgery has spurred on. So they said, oh, this is her planned surgery. It's in January. She's not going to resume royal duties until after Easter. And even that was a little bit vague too. You know, now we understand that that means you're not going to be seeing her until after Easter. And even though they've said that and they've put it into writing, there's just a few things that are strange. Number one is, what the hell type of surgery means that you can't be seen for, you know, hold on, January to February to March to April. Yeah, for like 3.5 months. There's no type of surgery that means that you can't be seen or take a photo. And then the second thing is, this past week when they released a photo of Kate Middleton with her children, it ended up being a photoshopped photo, so much so that one of these kill notices or whatever was thrown around telling everybody to remove the photo because it had been digitally doctored and altered. And obviously that just added a bunch of, you know, suspicious gasoline onto the already suspicious fire. So I'm going to run you down a little quick timeline. Basically, in December 23rd, a few months ago, William and Kate, they had this planned official trip to Italy in January. They announced it in late December, and then they ended up canceling that trip to Italy. On the 28th of December, there was this royal convoy that basically went from their residence to the hospital. And we have two correlating hospital dates here in which Kate and King Charles both went to the hospital on the same days and allegedly left the hospital on the same days. We see Charles at the hospital and him leaving. We never see Kate going into the hospital or coming out of the hospital, but allegedly the dates are the same, that they both enter and leave. January 17th, Kensington Palace makes a statement saying that Kate was admitted to the hospital for this planned surgery. Now that gets people thinking, just how planned was this surgery? Because just a few weeks back in December 23rd, you guys had planned an official trip to Italy in January. So this surgery that was planned for you, it wasn't planned a couple weeks ago. It must have been planned like 24 hours in advance, because just a few weeks ago, they thought they were going to be in Italy. It didn't seem like there was going to be a problem. There was no upcoming surgery in their mind back then. Now, on that same day, you know how these groups with PR, they love to have one story kind of take cover for another. So on that same day, January 17th, when they say that Kate was admitted to the hospital for a planned surgery, they also release a statement about King Charles' prostate condition. Now, 3 days later, on January 20th, this is when we get this Spanish reporter, and she is really, if we're going to go with the fire metaphor, she's adding kindling to it, baby. And she claims that Kate Middleton was hospitalized not in January, but on December 28th. So she's been in the hospital for 3 weeks before they even announced that she was going in. This is what she alleges. And she also continues to then claim Kate Middleton is not in a good state. Different things keep coming out in January. A lot of different folks basically say like, hey, Kate Middleton's charities were not notified that she was going to have the surgery. Nobody knew about it. So it's just adding, you know, more credency to the theory that this planned surgery was maybe not so planned. Was it even a surgery? We'll get into it. Now, aside from the charities being unaware, in January 24th, People Magazine reports that even her close family members also didn't know that the surgery was happening. Now, allegedly, on January 29th, the palace announces that Kate has been discharged from the hospital and she's returned home. They say William drove her home. There's no photos. We don't see her leaving. We don't see her in the car. None of that. Also, on the same day, January 29th, they say King Charles was discharged from the hospital and he's photographed doing so. Now we're in February. There's this unnamed spokesperson from Kensington Palace. They go on record to deny the Spanish reporter's claims and say that they're just like conspiracy rumors, whatever, like it's not true. This is not normal. Usually we're going to, you know, talk about this at the end of the episode. They follow that never complain, never explain rule. So it's pretty rare that they're going to, you know, pull a Tree Payne or a Kelly Teller. And who is the other person? Oh, a Hailey Bieber. We haven't talked about that on the podcast, but yeah, Hailey Bieber recently came out and was like, oh, these blind items are 100% false. You can't believe them, blah, 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 blah. Normally the palace doesn't do that type of shit, but it seems like now they are. Then February 27th, William was supposed to be in memorial service for his godfather, and he pulls out for personal reasons. February 29th, this is when the palace makes a statement. They say Kate is recovering and she will be back to royal duties after Easter. You know, the flames are starting to get fanned a little bit. There's a few people chattering about it online. March 4th increases the chatter. There's this paparazzi image of Kate taken and released for the first time since Christmas Day. And it's like her in a car. She's sitting in a car. Her face looks very swollen or kind of puffy or bloated, different than normal, almost to the point where you could say, sure, maybe she had surgery and she's on steroids and, you know, there's water retention in her face or something like that. But you could also say, is that even fucking Kate Middleton? It looks like a completely different person. I mean, okay, not completely. Like, she has brown hair and it's like a white person, but she's also wearing these big sunglasses. And it just doesn't look like Kate, okay? This is a conspiracy episode, so I'm just going to say it doesn't look like her. Then March 10th, this is when Kensington Palace goes, here's the first official image of Kate in months. It's her with her children for celebrating Mother's Day in the UK. And that photo ends up getting removed by all of these different press pieces. They're able to tell through like reverse engineering the photo that 2 days ago, on March 8th, 9:54 p.m., the image was edited in Photoshop, and then the next day, March 9th, at 9 8:39 a.m., there was a second edit to the image that was made in Photoshop. So this photo was Photoshopped at least twice. We know that. And this is where we get the first official statement of Kate in months. And she's apologizing for Photoshopping the photo. She's like, oh, you know, I'm an amateur photographer. Sometimes I dibble dabble with Photoshop. And this was just what happened. You know, my apologies for any confusion or worry that this caused. Hope you had a good Mother's Day. And it's just like, come on now. Now, something that I want to talk about, which I think is fascinating, and I saw over on Twitter literally today, there is evidence of so many other royal photos that have been Photoshopped over the years. And people are only now going over and through it with a fine-tooth comb, because after this, you know, shitstorm with Kate Middleton, people are like, wait a minute, let's go back and look at other photos. Have they been Photoshopped? Holy shit, guys. I'm going to post this Twitter link on my Instagram story today when the episode drops on Monday. There's a picture of the queen posing with, what is this? How many grandkids does she have? 10? Her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren. And it's a photo of her with all the kids around her, some sitting on the couch, some behind the couch. It's this nice green couch. Although, you know what? If we're being honest, is it that nice of a couch? Like, the royals are not shopping at, you know, Restoration Hardware. Design Within Reach or whatever. What's the name of that one? Crate and Barrel, CB2. Like, honestly, when I look at some of the furniture, and I remember when I was looking at how Jeffrey Epstein furnished his island pedo mansion situation, I was like, ugly furniture. Like, honestly, you know, you guys are bad people, but also ugly furniture. And I don't know, I'm looking at this picture too. Do you think they do that on purpose so that way, like, it doesn't look too rich? Like, it, let's just say it's not Kardashian styled. Anyway, but whatever, it's cute enough. I don't know why I'm focused on the couch. But in this photo of the queen with her grandchildren, they're zooming in and I see it in the original photo. And I'm like, oh my God, how did nobody ever edit this before? There is like her quilt, kilt skirt, the queen's, there's all of these different glitches on the pattern where you can tell that something was moved and removed. And it looks like Louis, Kate Middleton's son, was cut out from another photo and pasted into this one. There are even parts of the couch. Okay, finally, a reason to talk about the couch, the light green couch that they're sitting on, where it's like pixelated. And it almost looks like, how would I describe it? With only telling you guys and you can't see it because it's a podcast. Okay, let's say you had an image of a couch and you cut that couch image in half and then you move the image on the left like a little bit crossing over. So there's almost like a line in between the, you know, what the couch looks like. Like, I don't know if that makes sense. You'll have to check out the Twitter thread, but there's all of these different things that just look completely effed up in the photo. And now people are going back through all of these royal photos and they're like, holy shit, the crown has been editing and Photoshopping photos for years now. And we're only just finding out what it is. And it's also crazy because considering that these are royals, their photos are evidence of history. It's part of the history textbooks and they're literally doctoring them and putting out, ooh, it's about to come out, fake news. No, not fake news, but like fake history. You know, they're fucking up these historical records. So, you know what, I will say they don't have the furniture of the Kardashians, but at least they share that, you know, the family that Photoshops together stays together or something like that. Today's episode is brought to you by Way. My hair is incredibly important to me, almost to a cripplingly high effect. If my hair looks good. I feel more confident. I actually go outside of my house because I want to show it off. And I just find myself being a little bit more social, staying out longer because I want to show off the do. So if you want to get on your way to good hair days in just 5 minutes, you can try their new hair gloss. It gives you immediate shine straight out of the shower. It smells incredible. And you can just put it on as you shave your legs, wash your pits, rub your pubes. Exactly what you do in the shower is up to you. There's also a bunch of other great whey products. They have a leave-in conditioner, a detox shampoo. I am super into them to get all that gunk out of your scalp, and a really nice hair oil. I love using that on the ends of my hair just to give them a little bounce. So if you want to give your hair a glow up, you can do so with whey. Go to theouai.com and use promo code Fluently for 15% off any product. That is theouai.com with the promo code Fluently. Anyway, back to the timeline. There's really only one other thing. Like March 11th, Kate is spotted with William in a car. And when I say spotted, like, please. It's like the shadow of both of their noses, of a silhouette in the back of a car. And people have like upped the exposure, zoom in, enhance on the photo. And it doesn't look like it's Will, and it doesn't look like it's Kate. Nobody knows, but it's just like, it's fucking crazy at this point. And the entire internet is ablaze with it. I made a video on TikTok about all the different theories of Kate Middleton. I think it has over 3 million views. And Good Morning America reached out to me and they were like, could we use the TikTok for a segment? And I was like, yeah, of course, send me a clip of it. And they never do, assholes. Anyway, but the speculation is at an all-time high. I had a St. Patrick's Day party yesterday, which is why my voice sounds so beaten up right now because I'm still recovering from it. But I was talking to everyone at the party. Every single person had a theory or at least knew what was going on. Like, this is reaching fever pitch. And, you know, we'll talk about it at the end. Never complain, never explain. But the theories are starting to get dark, okay? Like, her getting a facelift and looking botched is probably the nicest, most positive outcome theory that I've seen about what's going on with Kate Middleton. And I would just think, put her out there for a video. Like, just have her go outside and wave and then go back or something. And the reason that they're not doing that, it could be never complain, never explain. It's their, you know, motto. But like, this is really reaching astronomical levels. So the reason why she isn't doing that is because either A, she looks different. She looks incredibly different, either in an unattractive way. Look, okay, whatever. I'm just going to get raw for this episode, right? She either looks like unattractive or like disfigured. Something happened to her face. Maybe there's potential bruises, scarring. Her face looks different in a way that the public absolutely cannot see. Or she isn't there. So maybe she's not conscious. Or maybe she isn't alive. Maybe she is in some sort of treatment center. Maybe she is unable to come out to the public. So we're going to dive into all of that. Now, something else that I also want to keep in mind, by the way, it's not just Kate that's been missing since December 28th. We also haven't seen her parents, and we also haven't seen her children, which to me just reads as whatever's going on, the family has to be involved in it or aware in it. Like, I don't think this is just a Kate Middleton thing anymore. I think this is like her whole family. And people did say, I think there were photographs of like Pippa vacationing in some tropical island like a month back. And a lot of people were like, oh, well, you know, I don't think Pippa would be out like, I don't know, in a bikini drinking a margarita if her sister was having something serious happen to her. But now a lot of stuff is coming up that people are saying that those photos were taken like 8 months ago and they're only being released now. And they're trying to frame it as Pippa having gone on this trip recently when maybe she didn't. What's also interesting too is that, remember how I said in the timeline that William had to miss his godfather's memorial service for personal reasons? His statement about missing that service, he used at the top of his statement his own personal crest signature. It's like this, I don't know, like monogram thing that the royals do. And he hasn't used his own personal crest since before his wedding to Kate. Ever since he was married to her, every single statement they put out had their joint crest for both joint statements and also personal ones. So, you know, there's this ideology here that either Kate is unable to sign his statement or she's unwilling to. I don't know. Now, something else weird that happened, I just want to add some of these on because I haven't heard as many people talking about them online. And I think, you know, it's just fun to keep this in mind before we go into all of the theories. There was an article from the Mirror, UK Mirror, and it was an article about Harry, that was republished the next day with all of the references to Harry being changed to Kate. So everything was the same except for the names. So this is an archived version of a piece that went out from the Mirror. And the original piece that the Mirror put out, the title says, Kate Middleton, quote, your best friend one minute and worst enemy the next. And they start talking about how Kate Middleton, a lot of people think that she's like Princess Diana, but she can actually be really evil and a total enemy. And then they ended up putting out that article, same article, but they changed Kate's name to Harry. So it's like, Prince Harry, your best friend one minute and your worst enemy the next. People have likened Prince Harry's personality to Princess Diana, but actually he can be really awful. So literally, it's the same article, but they swapped out Kate for Harry, which makes people think, were they getting ready to do some sort of media blitz on Kate and kind of try and start tarnishing her image, but then they weren't able to do that, so they just switched it out to Harry instead. Who the F knows? Now, a lot of people are also saying too that a lot of the tabloids over in the UK, now, you know, I live in Denver, so I don't know if it's true, but they were saying that it seems like they're kind of keeping silent on the whole matter, almost like they're waiting for something even bigger to drop. And they made a deal with the royals for that, because everybody knows that the royals make deals with the press over there. And it's interesting too, because there's a bunch of viral posts online now that are suggesting that the BBC is on alert for an unspecified major announcement from the royals in the next coming days. So I don't know if by the time this episode drops, like, will that alert be out there? Who knows? But yeah, I just think a good way to think about this, I saw this on like a Reddit thread. Somebody said, if your neighbor's wife and kids hadn't been seen since Christmas and he posted a photoshopped picture of her on Facebook and told you everything is fine, would you be concerned? Yeah, fuck yeah, you would be, you know? And I know like everybody online is like, oh, they said like, which by the way, like if you're online, like defending the royals and also telling people not to theorize and speculate on something, like, literally no fun at parties. Like, it's just so easy to tell what type of vibe that person is. Anyway, but there are so many people online who are like, don't speculate about this. Like, she said that she would be back after April. So we're waiting, or sorry, after Easter. So we're waiting until after Easter and then everything's going to be fine. The Photoshop photo changes all of that, because just like this person said, right? Like, if someone you knew, it's like, oh, you know, you won't be seeing me until after April. And then like, here's a picture of me. And it turns out the picture's been Photoshopped and doctored and changed, and like it might not be their face on there. It's like, oh, okay, well, now it's really weird. And it's another thing to add to the fire of like how how huge this is getting. Somebody made a website. Go check it out. It's called whereiskatemiddleton.com. I mean, like, ay, ay, ay. So on this website, they talk about like her last public appearances, different blog posts. They have a countdown until Easter. 13 days, 5 hours, 48 minutes, and 55 seconds until we might be seeing the Princess of Wales attending the royal family Easter celebration. And then they have all of these different theories. I mean, like, each person, I'm reading them right now. Somebody goes, William killed her. They are using this time to create a body double. 3 months is about the time it takes for the new body double to recover from plastic surgery. What? Anyway, so people, you know, put in their own theories, but it seems like the main six right now, and we're going to talk about a lot more. She's either fleeing from like royal secrets. She's like in hiding from the crown. She's in a coma. She's some type of unwell. She was a victim of domestic violence or a physical altercation with William. She's dead. She's dealing with his affair. Some of these theories paint her out to be, you know, a victim of something tragic. And then other theories paint her out to be this gone girl type of character who knows exactly what she's doing, and she's hiding away and like forcing William to end his affair or to be a better husband or to yada, yada, yada. All right, so let's get into all of the theories. And this is kind of what I spoke about on my TikTok video, but I'm going to do it a little bit more in depth. So we're going to start off with the light ones, because trust me, they get dark. Number one, she's on The Masked Singer. Have we heard her sing? Is she pulling a Joe Alwyn, Willem Bowery, where she says that she doesn't have musical talent, but she's actually a Grammy award-winning artist underneath it all? I mean, honestly, like, I'm still not over that. Anyway, that's the funny theory. I don't think it's true. The second one is cosmetic work. All the way from like people thinking she got bangs and they look bad, so she needs to grow them out, all the way to people saying maybe she got a mommy makeover. That would kind of make sense for the abdominal surgery. People online were saying that they've had these mommy makeovers. Sometimes they need to repair a hernia. They have gaps in their stomach muscles. But a lot of these people then say, well, I was discharged from the hospital the same day and I was back to my pre-surgical activity level within 6 weeks. Obviously, it's been way more than 6 weeks. Now, other people are thinking, could it be a facelift? And that photo of her that we saw in the car, her face did look pretty puffy. I don't know. First of all, like, if you didn't, couldn't she just like wear a mask? I feel like COVID was like so helpful for any time like you're looking ugly now or something. Like, it's okay to wear a mask in public in a way that, you know, before 2020, people would have been like staring at you. So I don't know. Maybe it could be some sort of cosmetic work. I just think at the end of the day, the fever pitch has gotten so high. And also, having gotten cosmetic work done myself, even with my nose job, where like my face was busted afterwards, within a couple of months, I definitely could have gone out for a photo or even like far away or something. Like, I don't know. I've never had a facelift. It just seems a little bit unusual to me. The third theory is that Kate Middleton truly just got surgery and everybody's being weird. Some people are speculating, did she have a ruptured appendix? Did she have some sort of like ruptured ovarian fibroid or cyst? Maybe there's something to do with colon or digestive issues and they didn't want people to think of like a poopy princess. So like they didn't want to talk about anything to do with the bowels. Maybe she had an intensive hernia repair. Some people were saying too that during Christmas, when you saw her in the public appearance, you can see her try to smile and look carefree, but it looks like she's kind of gasping or clenching her jaw on the walk from church. So some people think, you know, she's hurting, something serious happened, the surgery was real, and maybe now she's on steroids and she's really swollen and she just doesn't want to be seen by the public in that state. I just think, once again, like, how swollen can you be that 3 months out you haven't de-swelled, especially considering that these royals are going to be getting the absolute best, what's it called? They just need to gua sha her and put her back into shape. What's that thing? The lymphatic drainage. Like, she could probably be getting 3 of those massages every day or something. So once again, it could be true. I just think, you know, if they're still not showing her and that's actually what happened, it's incredibly stupid. So today's episode is brought to you by Pear Eyewear, and you can wear it too. We wear, they wear, everybody wears Pear Eyewear. Ooh la la. If you are looking to switch up your look, Pear Eyewear has these base frames. They start at just $60, which includes your prescription. And they have a wide variety of different top frames that you can very easily, almost like magic, just snap on and snap off. So then that way, depending on whether you want to take a look from day to night, hello, my fellow millennials, or maybe you're getting your colors done and you're between a spring and a summer, you can just use your top frames, snap them on and off to personalize your look. And they also have fantastic sunglasses. I think I have like 5 pair eyewears of their sunglasses and I love them. So visualize a fantastic new you with Pear Eyewear. You can go to paireyewear.com and use the code Shannon for 15% off of your first pair, and support the show by mentioning that Fluent Loom Forward sent you in your post-checkout survey. That is Pear, P-A-I-R, eyewear.com with the code Shannon. Now we start to get into a lot of the darker theories. People think domestic violence could have been happening between Kate and William, and that maybe he accidentally hurt Kate in a domestic violence altercation or situation on December 28th. This is the theory. Kate was hurt by him. She was taken into a hospital and she fell into a coma. They covered this up with a press statement about abdominal surgery. She finally woke up on February 27th and William canceled his very public engagement to be by her side and start doing damage control. So people have different pieces of like quote unquote evidence and assumptions for this. People say that in Prince Harry's book, he describes William as very abusive and like very violent, physically fighting with his brother. I don't know, like brothers do fight. Look, I'm like, I don't know, whatever. I can't even comment on it. That's just like what some people say. Who knows, right? Also, Kate has been pictured last year with different finger injuries, like her fingers had been bandaged together. So some people think, you know, was that caused by William? I think she said publicly that it was caused by like trampolining, which I will say, you know, you get your fingers hurt in trampolining, but it's been multiple different instances apart from each other that her fingers have had bandages on them. That also leads into one of these theories about her having an eating disorder. But yeah, some people are thinking, I don't know, maybe William did that. And then people believe that along with this domestic violence narrative, that the royal palace is kind of taking this wait and see approach. They're giving just enough info to have everybody not completely freaking out, but they're trying to build a more cohesive narrative later. And that's what they're in the process of doing right now. Other folks were saying too, perhaps Kate got traumatic brain injury on that night, December the 28th, and they've just been waiting to see how bad it is and how much rehab she'll need. Somebody told a story. They said, my college roommate was in a coma for 6 weeks after a head-on car accident. Doctors told her family it could end with death, vegetative state, or total recovery. They just had no idea. My roommate spontaneously woke up and made a complete recovery with years of therapy. She had to learn how to feed herself again, etc. She didn't remember the accident. She didn't even remember the days leading up to the accident. Anyway, it makes me wonder if Will is coming up with a lie for her when she wakes up. No, 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 I didn't choke you out. You fell down the stairs. I don't know. It's really dark, but that's what I would say. That's one of the main things people are talking about online. Somebody else said, are things not okay at home? This is kind of leading into that DV theory. Somebody online said, I bet their kids' teachers know a lot. Kids tend to tell everything that goes on at home. And the way that the kids act is very telling. The youngest kid is so rude to his mother, and that tells a story. I don't know why, but when I read that, it just kind of sent a chill down my spine. I mean, it's pretty freaky, right? And I think we've all seen that video of, is it Louis? King Louis, Prince Louis, who was, I mean, look, I thought it was funny. Everybody freaked out and they were like, that kid is so disrespectful. I'm like, that kid, wasn't he sitting at some sort of royal banquet or ceremony? And he's like a toddler and he had to sit there for a few hours and he was kind of acting out and sticking his thumb up his nose and making faces at his mom and such. I just thought it was cute though, but you know, whatever. People read into everything. Some people were saying maybe that's a sign that Kate is not respected at home and the kids are mimicking that behavior. One of the other theories is Kate Middleton being in rehab. A lot of people have been saying for years that she has a pretty serious eating disorder, and maybe now she's in a rehab of some type. People were also saying this might make sense with the bandaged fingers, because maybe if she's suffering with bulimia, there's stomach acid getting on her fingers and something like that. But I also looked at those finger photos, and I think sometimes her knuckles were bandaged. Ooh, that sounds awful, doesn't it? Anyway, and her thumb. Which honestly, now that I'm saying that, I feel like when you punch someone and you don't know how to throw a punch, right? Don't you always end up hurting your thumb when you're not holding your hand correctly and your knuckles would get bruised there? But I think people were saying because it was the thumb, it was also two fingers at some point, but it was the thumb and the knuckles. So people were saying, I don't think if that really has any credence to it. And somebody said, I think she's dealing with an ED because Charles was given a few months to live, right, with his cancer diagnosis. They needed to get her to treatment immediately before William is crowned. I think she was planning on getting treatment but at a slower pace, but King Charles' cancer news sped up the plan and she needed more intensive care. That, you know, honestly, I read that and I went, okay, that seems pretty logical. But then somebody commented this, which I think is true as well. They go, I definitely follow your thinking, but why are her parents and the children seemingly missing as well, if that's what it is? I think that's interesting. There was another story somebody shared online. They said, I passed out due to being malnourished. I was heavily dieting. In the ambulance, my blood sugar was dropped to 42. The doctor scared the crap out of me. I had no idea that someone could go into a hyperglycemic coma. I was only dieting for 3 months at that point. It wouldn't surprise me if Kate went into that type of coma or she was in rehab. All right, moving on to another theory. She has been taken hostage by the Russians. I don't think that one's true, but honestly, it tickled me. What a delight to read it. Somebody else says divorce. I personally think divorce is incoming, and this is the subtle start of a smear campaign to turn the public against Kate while protecting the heir. I would expect more negative stories about her in the coming days and weeks. Now, something that, you know, kind of gives evidence to that theory of divorce is that there was that nasty article about Kate that was planned and then later changed to be about Harry. That being said, you know, let's just explore this theory. Maybe it is divorce. I just can't see William wanting to divorce Kate because she's the only likable thing about him. Everybody likes Kate. She's like such a perfect, polished little princess. And I don't know, she's just classy. She makes it look good. She really does. Nobody likes William, especially the fact that his affair with, what's her name, Rose Hanbury, it's now, along with this story, reaching such a fever pitch that you have to be so stupid. Like, everybody loved Princess Diana. They hated that she was getting cheated on. And to do the same thing, especially when, you know, your mother was the one who went through all of that trauma and then to inflict it on another woman, like, the public would never, you know, you need public perception as a royal. So I don't think that William would want to divorce Kate. And I don't think Kate would want to divorce William. Like, she's been in it to win it, effing weighty Katie, waiting around. Is she a Capricorn? I think she is. But like, I just feel like she has her shit together. She has a plan. She wants to be the Queen of England. And motherfucker, she's going to do it. I've just always got that vibe. Like, honestly, hats off to you. Like, I don't know what type of personality trait that is, but like, I have to say, I respect the raw, sheer determination and ambition to be like, I'm going to get this effing goal. And I just can't see either of them doing the divorce. All right. And then the last theory here is that she is transitioning to a man because she wants to be king. Okay, done. We figured it out. That's the one. There are also some other theories online that don't make sense, and I just kind of want to shout them out. Especially in the conspiracy world, a lot of people are talking about Thomas Kingston. He was kind of associated with the crown. He died recently. He was a finance guy or something, and he was the husband of Lady Gabriella Kingston. They said that his cause of death was determined to be due to a traumatic head wound. He was shot in the head, and they're saying that it was suicide. But we all know when it comes to the royals, when it comes to the Clintons, when it comes to powerful people, there's so many suspicious suicide instances with people who die, leading some people to say, was it suicide? So he was 45 years old. He was found February 25th in a locked building at his parents' residence in the Cotswolds. Is that how you say it? Anyway, and there was a gun present at the scene. And that day that he died, he ate lunch with his parents. His father went out to walk the dogs. They couldn't find him in the house. So after 30 minutes, his mother went to go look for him. His dad found this locked building that he forced entry into when nobody replied when he was knocking. And then that is where he found Thomas deceased with a catastrophic head injury. There was a gun present at the scene, and the police are satisfied that the death is not suspicious. So obviously, I'm assuming they're ruling it a suicide because how else could it not be suspicious? But yeah, he was basically the son-in-law of Queen Elizabeth II's cousin. Honestly, like, so much of this is just like, he was married to Lady Gabriella, who was the daughter of Queen Elizabeth II's cousin, Prince Michael of Kent. Like, give me a break. Give me a break. Who can keep up with all of this? Anyway, but I want to shout this out here because there's a whole bunch of TikTok videos alleging that Kate Middleton was hooking up with and having an affair with Thomas Kingston, and Prince William found out and he killed Thomas Kingston with a gun and then tried to kill Kate or something like that. And I just wanted to say, first of all, everybody keeps referring to Thomas as Kate Middleton's brother-in-law. He's not her brother-in-law. Like, what are these people on TikTok doing? He and Pippa Middleton, they dated until 2011, but he's not, whatever. That's just like what I've been seeing online. Today's episode is brought to you by Quince. If you are looking to upgrade your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices, you can do so with Quince. They have a range of high quality items that are all priced within reach. They have 100% cashmere sweaters for only $50. And I got this incredible cute cashmere beanie for my niece for under $20. which by the way, Quince has everything clothing for you. They also have a baby and toddler section, which I think is so great if you're getting gifts for your friends. You want it to be nice, but you don't want to spend like $100 on something for a baby that they're going to outgrow. So I love using Quince for that. If you want to indulge in affordable luxury, you can go to quince.com/fluently for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/fluently to get free shipping and 365 days return. Quince.com/fluently. So whether you want something for a baby, toddler, your partner, yourself, you can get washable silk tops, 14 karat gold jewelry, and much more at Quince. All right, now let's get into some of the blind items, little garnishing of some blind items to see what's going on. This is one about Thomas Kingston and Kate Middleton. The story goes that the now dead guy had something to do with the abdominal injuries. When all of this comes out, it is going to be one huge story. So that is alleging that Thomas Kingston perhaps gave Kate Middleton those abdominal injuries or was around when it happened. Now, keep in mind, by the way, a lot of these blind items contradict each other. So like, do not take any of them to heart. Here's another one. It says, apparently there was a problem with a risky pregnancy, which is why the emergency surgery was needed, not planned. The ginger-haired one, Prince Harry, reached out to someone about going over because of all of the health emergencies. But you know who said no to that? Meghan Markle. Also, Meghan Markle tried to buy a house, but she didn't qualify for the loan, so now she's renting one, blah, blah, blah. It's not a blind item unless there's some rogue shitting on Meghan Markle in it. But it's funny because like the first blind item says Thomas Kingston had something to do with the abdominal injuries. Then the second one says there was a problem with the risky pregnancy. So unless you're trying to say that Thomas Kingston got Kate Middleton pregnant and you know, being pregnant is an abdominal injury, which it kind of is. I don't see a lot of pregnant women with abs. Anyway, it just seems contradictory. There was a blind item that Meghan Markle is trying to push a rumor that Kate Middleton is an alcoholic and that's why she needed surgery. There was a blind item saying that Kate Middleton is making it very hard for Prince William to stay with his mistress, that Sarah Rose Hanbury woman, and that Prince William won't give up the mistress and he's been treating Kate Middleton like a piece of furniture that he doesn't really like. And then there was lastly another blind item that said, they are really trying to keep this foreign-born A-plus-list celebrity, Kate Middleton, from going back to the hospital, but things are not good. So that was just an interesting blind item because that, you know, obviously you read in between the lines and it says that she's been in the hospital more than once, which is not what the official timeline says, but I could see something like that being true. Okay, so lastly, I want to talk about the British motto, never complain, never explain. This has been their motto for a long time, and there's this great blog piece about it, and I hate to say it's on a website called The Art of Manliness. We're just going to move past it. But they talk a lot about this phrase, so you could go check out that article if you want to read more about it. So this phrase, never complain, never explain, it was coined by this British politician and Prime Minister Benjamin Disraeli, if that's how you pronounce it. And then a bunch of other high-ranking Brits ended up kind of adopting that motto. So different members of royalty, folks in the Navy, fellow prime ministers, Winston Churchill, they all got behind the motto of never complain, never explain. So, you know, you can kind of tell what it is when you hear it, but they go into it a little bit further. They say that the nevers, of course, aren't ironclad, which I think is great because, you know, I never like a motto that's all or nothing, black and white thinking, no shades of gray, no nuance. So they say that the nevers and never complain and never explain, they don't apply to every situation and they can be hard to follow through on. But this blog post was advocating that the phrase never explain, never complain is something that we can all use and it would be helpful for everybody. So they start with the first part of this quote, never explain. And there's this great quote that says, never explain. Your friends do not need it and your enemies will not believe you anyway. And there's a quote that I love from somebody whose name I'm forgetting, but I think about it a lot when I'm podcasting. And they said, how does it go? It was basically this mantra of saying, if you say something and somebody understands what you're trying to say, even if you speak poorly or you muff up the words a little bit, they're going to understand what you're trying to say and your intention. But if somebody is trying to purposely misunderstand you, and even if you speak perfectly, that person is going to find a way to misunderstand and misinterpret you and what you do. So just speak freely. because no matter how you speak, it's either just someone is dead set on understanding you or misunderstanding you, and they're just going to see it through either way. And I found that to be true over the years with podcasting. And I think that that kind of coincides with this never explain quote. So then they get into this fascinating story. They said when Winston Churchill was a young cavalry officer, he was always looking for different ways to kind of get up to the front, join the big leagues, experience the battle firsthand. And it, for some reason, when I read that sentence, it reminded me of that scene in Mulan where like Li Shang is like, come on, like, let me do it. Let me in. Anyway, so this is Winston Churchill. So he was really persistent about trying to experience the battle firsthand, and he was able to get this position in the field as a personal attendant to Sir William Lockhart, who was overseeing the British military campaigns in what is now Pakistan. So Churchill joined this general staff, and he just kind of behaved normally. He stayed in line, but one day he saw an opportunity to offer a little bit of advice. So he had heard that his general and headquarters staff had plans to reach out to a newspaper correspondent. There was basically this newspaper that had published a very critical article about one of their recent like battles or campaigns, and the officers felt really hurt by what they wrote in the newspaper. So they wrote up this rebuttal and they went to go mail it off to the newspaper to publish their rebuttal being like, hey, fuck you, we did a good job in this battle or something like that. So Churchill heard that they were doing that and he spoke up and convinced the staff that doing so would be an incredibly bad idea. And he gave the advice that the piece should be intercepted before it was ever printed. And this was his quote about why he said that. I said that it would be considered most undignified and even improper for a high officer on the staff of the army in the field to enter into newspaper controversy about the conduct of operations with a dismissed war correspondent. I was sure that the government would be surprised and the war office furious that the army staff were expected to leave their defense to the superiors or politicians, and that no matter how good the arguments were, the mere fact of advancing them would be taken everywhere as a sign of weakness. And I think that was a really good move on Churchill's part. And this blog post goes in to talk about how when you explain, you give power to something else. So they have this quote, when someone criticizes or insults you, gets offended by a certain thing you do or say, or questions your decisions and why you've chosen to do something a certain way, it's natural to want to explain why you think that they're wrong, especially if that party has, you know, upset your honor or integrity. And of course, sometimes a response is needed. If the person is someone you know and respect as an equal, and they said something intelligent and interesting, you may want to explain yourself and invite further discussion. If they're your boss or a customer, you may need to offer an explanation to hold onto your job or business. If there's someone you care about, like a loved one or a friend, and you've had an awful miscommunication, you might want to explain yourself to try and preserve that relationship. But if the critical, offended, skeptical party is someone you don't know personally, like a stranger online or the public in general, then taking the time to explain why they're wrong or why you've made the decisions you have is ill-advised. To be concerned with what someone outside of your circle of respect thinks is to allow yourself to be pulled down to his or her level. And then this guy, you know, from The Art of Manliness, writes this next paragraph, and this one really stood out to me. He says, when someone is clearly off their rocker, it's easy to ignore them as really out there. And when someone has something critical but intelligent to say, engaging with them can actually be interesting and instructive. It's the people who greatly distort who you are, what you did, what you said, but mix together sensible sounding discourse with nuggets of crazy who prove the most irresistible. They almost sound like someone you can have a reasonable discussion with. It almost seems like you could explain to them why they're objectively off the mark. But as it invariably turns out, and this is a lesson I have to learn over and over, if someone's mindset or mentality is such that they're able to grossly misinterpret something, no amount of explanation, no matter how thorough and well-reasoned, is going to change their mind. Quite to the contrary, they'll simply dig in their heels all the more. And I just, it just really resonates with me, and I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of the crown and someone who's going, Kate Middleton was definitely taken hostage by the Russians, right? That's somebody who's clearly off their rocker, so it's easy to ignore them. But these people right now with this scandal who are saying things that are half nuggets of crazy but half nuggets of truth, you know, maybe the domestic violence, maybe the eating disorder. I'm sure those are the rumors that's, you know, nipping at the heels of the crown the most, because, oh man, it's like so irresistible. You want to engage with something like that because it has those nuggets of truth woven into it. Anyway, so the second part of this mantra that they stick to, after never explain comes never complain. And there's this great piece this guy says. He said, "I once read an interview with Ben and Jerry, the ice cream makers, in which they said that they wish they could forward one set of the letters they received to the senders of another set, because some people would write saying that they wish their ice cream had smaller chunks of things, while others would write saying that they wish the chunks were even bigger." So which complainers did Ben and Jerry listen to? Neither, of course. They stuck with their own vision of what constituted the best type of ice cream, and blah, 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 they did really well, right? And I think that's very true. Also, even with this podcast, so many people are like, "Shannon, I want the episodes to be shorter. Please make them shorter. Like, I don't like listening to an hour." And then somebody else goes, "Please, the episodes could be 3 hours. I want them to be even longer." And it's just always some people say, "More gossip. I need more gossip, only celebrity stuff." Other people say, "I want only conspiracies, knock it off with the pop culture." Like, you know, Ben and Jerry, I feel you, my guy. So then this person continues, and he basically says the reason to follow the mantra of never complain is because, quote, "the world doesn't exist to meet my expectations. And if they're not met, I figure I can do one of two things. I can go somewhere else or create something myself more to my liking." And I really like that too. I mean, complaining's never great. Venting, ugh, I love to do it. Nothing I love to do more than vent, but it is annoying. And I feel like we've all had that friend who like complains about the same thing. You offer her suggestions, you try to do this, you offer different support, and she changes nothing in her life. No actions about, I'm just saying her, it could be anyone, but like no actions are changed. She doesn't change any patterns of behavior. She doesn't change her lifestyle in any way. She doesn't add anything. She doesn't take anything away. And then she just keeps complaining. And it's like, oh my God, you can't complain if you're not changing things. Now, if I'm thinking about the royals, right? If somebody's like, "I don't like what Kate Middleton is doing with this," well, never complain, because you could either just choose not to consume stuff about Kate Middleton, or you could obsessively worship another celebrity instead and, you know, choose to enjoy them. Now, that's how this blog article talks about the phrase never complain. I also think of it in a little bit of a different sense. Over on Patreon this past Friday, Christy came on and we did an episode that one of you floozies suggested to me. It was an awesome topic. It was all about female celebrities who almost feel like they're hindered by their hotness and they kind of resent it. So we talked about, who do we talk about? Megan Fox, obviously, Emily Ratajkowski, Sydney Sweeney versus Margot Robbie. And we have a bunch more that we want to do a part two on that episode because it was just very fun. But this idea of never complain, I also think of it in the sense when Sydney Sweeney is like, "I don't have enough money. It's like really hard here in Hollywood." And it's like, girl, your house is like $4 million. Like, what are you doing complaining about money? Like, oh my God. Or when Madison Beer is like, "You guys keep saying that I'm like too pretty and too perfect. And it like really is annoying." And it's like, okay, I get that, but like, why are you complaining about being so perfectly symmetrical when there's so many ugly people out here suffering, you know? So I also wonder if that's another mantra of it too, especially if you're someone as high up like the royals or somebody who's truly, you know, famous and well-to-do, never complain, you know, journal, vent, talk about it to your therapist. But I think you have to, especially as a public figure, you have to have that self-awareness to know what you can and can't complain about and who you're complaining to. So anyway, so that was just interesting, you know, a little bit on the mantra of never complain, never explain. And like I said, you know, I don't like the black and white. The nevers, I think, should be sometimes never, sometimes, you know, usually, but you never know what's going to happen. Never complain, never explain. So there we go. I feel like this week, you know, allegedly the BBC is going to be putting out some sort of major news. So I'm going to be following along with this. You let me know what you think about all of these theories. I just like am absolutely flabbergasted. I have no idea what's about to happen. Oh, should I say what I think is going to happen? I like haven't even given my theory yet. I think whatever happened is something bad. Okay. I don't think it's the divorce thing. I don't think it's the Gone Girl thing. If I had to guess anything, I would guess either like abused in a domestic violence situation or in a rehab for an eating disorder. I feel like those are kind of the two I'm in between. So let me know what you think. You know, what theories have you seen that I didn't touch on in this episode? I'm just fascinated by what the hell is going on and what we're going to find out. Will they complain and will they explain? We'll see. So anyway, thank you for hanging out with me. If you are interested in Fluently Forward merch, our mantra is not never complain, never explain, but we have got merch with hello, hello on it, as well as very much in love with quotes around it, the classic publicist phrase that they love so much to describe a celebrity relationship. And then we also have shirts and sweaters with the word floozy on it, which I love my floozy merch. So you can head on over to fluentlyforward.com/merch. All of our pieces of merch are upcycled. So these are like vintage and thrifted pieces. So it's not just going to be like a white t-shirt with like a logo slapped onto it. These are going to be all, we have jean jackets, we have crop tops, we have flannel button downs. We have all these different pieces of clothes, which I just think is so fun because then it feels like you're shopping when you're looking at the merch, you know, it's not just t-shirts. You can get whatever you want. So go check that out, fluentlyforward.com/merch. Or if you want to check out that Patreon episode I mentioned or any others, Patreon.com/fluentlyforward. I will see you guys soon for another episode.